All right. Well, we've got our missions conference preparatory preaching that we're going to start today, getting us in gear for worldwide evangelism. If you look on the back wall there, it says our ministry is to evangelize, enlist, and enlighten people, equipping them to exalt the Lord Jesus and reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we do here. The only way that we can reach the world with the gospel is by sending other people where we can't go. And that's where missions dollars come into play. So take your Bibles, if you would, and if you're able, stand with me and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you're able to stand. If not, we definitely understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1. Helpful to have mine too. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We're going to read one verse, and that's verse number 1. And the message topic is grace giving. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 1. Everybody that has found your place, if you would, give me a hearty amen.
Amen.
Anyone need just a moment to get to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8? Amen. All right. Now, let me put out a disclaimer. We don't talk about money often here at Shining Light Baptist Church in our preaching. This is one of the few times that we do, and that's when Missions Conference comes around, because our goal is to allow you and encourage you to get involved in reaching the world with the gospel, and that is by giving to send missionaries around the world. We ourselves cannot go, and so we get involved with God's program by giving to missions. And so we don't talk about money often, but we will talk about it today in a roundabout way in the next couple weeks as well, leading up to our Missions Conference. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." Now read with me verse 9 together. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." The Apostle Paul, here writing to the church at Corinth, brings their giving right back to where it all begins. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Jesus Christ here is being the example of giving everything to redeem a sinful man. It is our goal and it is our desire that you and I could partner together and participate in the same thing that Jesus was responsible for doing when he was here. That's reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ by giving to missions and sending missionaries around the world. And that is the focus of what we're going to talk about today. And I pray that you would listen very well with your ears, but more importantly, listen with your heart. Father, now we do ask your blessings upon your word. God, as we talk about this idea of grace giving, help it to be something that is review for many of us. But then, Lord, very, very familiar when it comes to how you gave, Lord Jesus, to every one of us. Lord, understanding that you became poor, physically speaking, giving up the riches of heaven, that you could come down here and live like a man and die for man, but then be raised again the third day to prove that you're truly God. Lord, we pray that you would anoint this, your servant, that I may speak, thus saith the Lord. We might understand the principle involved here, Lord, not get so hung up and caught up on dollars or figures or money, but look at the mind and the heart of our Master in heaven, who has a masterful way of reaching the whole of this world through missions dollars. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Bless the message. Bless the message and song as well as it will be sang. Thank you for what we heard from the young people, how we need your word. We need the Bible. And Lord, many around the world, in nations, don't have the Word of God like we have it here. And help us to be involved in getting that Word into their hands by sending missionaries to do the job. Bless now in the message this morning. When it's all said and done, may we say it's been good to be here. Lord, may we truly have our hearts impacted for the glory of God and leave differently than when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson's got our special this morning.
To be your shepherd. trust me.
Appreciate that blessed message, amen. God will carry you, amen. He'll carry you through, and we saw that yesterday at the men's conference and looking at some of the men of God and Elijah and David and several others, and God truly will carry us when we don't think we can make it anymore, amen. By the way, God will carry you when it comes to missions as well, amen. That's just what he does. He's a great God. He's a good God, and he's always good all the time. Even when we don't think he's good, he's still good. Amen. And so we're excited about that. You know, I'm glad you're here today. And again, you know, we're talking about giving to missions, but you know, it's more than giving to missions. It's, you know, it's about seeing the plan of God recognized in real life. Anything that's worth doing oftentimes is going to cost something. I mean, you think about an endeavor that you want to undertake, whether it's building a house or it's buying a car or it's getting a child in school, whether it's looking to purchase some land. Everything is going to involve finances. And so getting the gospel around the world is going to take finances as well. You say, well, God could just snap his finger and he could make it happen. He could, amen. But he chose to use you instead and chose to use me instead. Say, preacher, why? So that we can get blessed in the return. Amen. God is in the market of blessing you and blessing me, and he does so by his grace and through his grace. I want to talk to you this morning about grace giving. Last week we talked about why we have and need a missions program out of Matthew 28. Now, Jesus left, his last command was this: go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, if we're to go to all nations, how can we go to all nations when we can't be in all nations at once? Because he said, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we can go by sending others to go for us. He said, I want you to go. I want you to baptize them. He said, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I've commanded you. And so we know that we have a need a missions program because Jesus said that we need to reach the world with the gospel. Then we found out on Sunday night why we finance a missions program out of Acts 1:8. And it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Then Jesus said this, both in Jerusalem and in Judea at the same time. Then he said, and in Samaria. Then he said, and into the uttermost parts of the world all at the same time. How can we do that? How can we go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts all at the same time? By missionaries. By sending people with the gospel as our representative, so to speak. By the way, every place that American soldiers go around this world, you know who they go representing? You and I.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
And they go at the direction of the President of the United States. And they go all around the globe as ambassadors or as representatives. And do you know who funds those soldiers? You and I.
We do.
Through our tax dollars. I do? I don't even agree with what they do. You don't have to agree with it, amen? Just being an American citizen lines you up with them, amen? And so we get our citizens all around the globe by tax dollars. God gets his servants around the globe to give the gospel by saints' dollars. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's the way he operates. That's the way he does things. So we preached why we need and have a missions program, why we finance a missions program. And now we'll see this morning how we finance a missions program. We'll see more of that on Wednesday as well.
Now, by the way, you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth, identifying and dealing with many, many problems that they had. Paul then writes back 2 Corinthians, kind of dealing with them, saying, you know what, I came to you hard in the first letter. I mean, I came to you real hard. But you know what? You needed it because you got right with God. And then Paul is writing this and dealing with some other issues as well. And chapters 8 and 9 go together because in 8 and 9, he's describing a special love offering that was being collected for the poor saints that were in Jerusalem. And they were going through a time of famine and a lot of time of peril. And so Paul is writing back to this church saying, you know what? You guys promised to give some money. And let me call your memory into question about that money that you were giving in chapters 8 and 9. By the way, chapters 8 and 9 does not talk about missions giving per se, but it does talk about grace giving or giving by grace. Say, preacher, what is grace? I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And so he is asking them to give by grace. By the way, did Jesus give to us by his grace? Yes, he did. You read it in verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, hold your finger there. All of us that are saved experienced grace before. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, as we look, before we get into this. And in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible is talking about how we get saved. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse number 4, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Say, preacher, what type of people did he love? Notice verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. You know, before I ever got saved, I was alive but dead whilst I lived. Say, preacher, you were? Amen. And so were you. You were dead in trespasses. I didn't trespass against anybody. You trespass against Almighty God. God in his love gave us a command. He gave us 10 commandments, as a matter of fact. Amen. And at some point in time, we broke those. But God in his love said, you know what? Even though you broke those commandments, I still love you. And I want to save you. Notice verse number 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we, notice Paul says we, all had our conversation, our manner of life in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know what Paul said, in just a nutshell? You and I did what we wanted to do. You think about the average kid. The average child does what they want to do. You get them about 1 year old, when they start walking around, they do what they want to do. When do they stop doing what they want to do? When you correct them. And when you correct them, that's when they stop doing what they want to do. But if you don't stop children, guess what? They will eat ice cream all day long. They will eat candy all day long. They will play video games all day long. They will go outside and play all day long. They will never clean their room. They will never brush their teeth. They will never wipe their mouths. They will never do those things unless you tell them to do it. We did what we wanted to do. In other words, what Paul is saying there. And Paul said, I'm right along with you. But notice verse 4. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. Means that he didn't give us what we deserve. Notice this, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Now, if you don't get anything else today, I want you to know that God loves us. I know people say, well, God's just got a vendetta against mankind. He's got this agenda against mankind. He doesn't like mankind. He never liked mankind because mankind's wicked. Now, mankind is wicked, but he loves mankind. You know, you can have a child that can be as wicked as the devil and you still love that child. You may not like what that child does, but you still love that child. We are God's creation. And so he says he loved us. He had mercy. He's rich in mercy. He's got more mercy than we need. It says in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Notice this, by what? Grace. Are you saved? What are we talking about grace giving today? God gave us grace. That's how we got saved, through his mercy. It says verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his what? Grace and his kindness toward us through who? Jesus, Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by what? Grace. So we saw grace in verse 5, by grace ye are saved. We saw it in verse number 7, the riches of his grace. In verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. that not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God. Means you didn't do anything. He offered it to you. Yep. Why? His great love. His great mercy. And he said, you know what? I'm going to offer you something for free. You're not going to do anything for it. Here it is. It's called grace. And you're saved through your faith. And that's not of yourself. You didn't do anything to get it yourself. It is the gift of God. And he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work for it, because then you'd boast and say, look what I did. It's just God's grace. It's God's mercy. So why are we talking about grace giving this morning? Because God says, I extended grace to you. And I want you to extend grace to somebody else. By the way, those that are recipients of grace are the ones that can show grace. If you weren't really a recipient of grace, you don't really understand what grace is all about. Yes, you can give, but you can't give by grace, because you don't know what grace is, because you never got grace. My children oftentimes will get into trouble at home, and they will say, Daddy, have mercy on me and give me grace. You know what they're saying? Daddy, don't give me what I deserve, and that's discipline, but give me what I don't deserve, let me go. You say, what do you say, preacher? What do you say to your kids? It depends on what it is. Amen. But guess what? Does that diminish my love for them? Not at all. It just shows that I'm a just, fair dad. Amen. As flawed as I can be. Amen. So he says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Go back to 2 Corinthians. So we're talking about grace this morning, and grace giving is what we're going to be describing. And our missions program is based on this principle of giving by God's grace, which is depicted here in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. And Paul here writing to Corinth about helping to meet this need financially for the saints in Judea. They had agreed to help, but to this point they had not done that. And so Paul is reminding them, you ever had promise to do something and then you forgot about it? And if somebody writes back and reminds you of what you forgot to do, wives are notorious for doing that to husbands. Did you pick up the bread from the store? No. Okay, well, I'm calling to remind you beforehand. I'm so glad we got cell phones now, because that last time, it used to be you get home first and then she reminds you, you got to go all right back to the store and get that which you forgot. But now we've got cell phones, so they can text you, amen, and say, did you remember it? And you can say, I did now. So, you know, you're not lying, because you know you forgot. And so you don't want to say yes, because you know you lied if you did. So you say, I did now. Did you remember to do? Yeah, I did now. Are you going to? I am now. And that's a polite way of saying, I forgot. I forgot. And so Paul is writing to them saying, you know what? You forgot. Let me jog your memory on what you promised to do. And he does so by giving them Jesus Christ as an example in verse number 9. But he also does so by giving them an example of the Macedonian Christians in verses 1 through 5. And he says, you know what? You want to get involved in this thing called grace giving, because this is right to do. And you promised to do it. As we approach the collection of our faith promise cards, I want to challenge us again from the Word of God concerning giving to support the gospel worldwide, because every saved person can and should be involved in worldwide evangelism, both by our finances and by our feet. And by the way, that's only right and natural. If somebody gave you the gospel through grace, guess what? You should give somebody else the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. It's just right to do. And so let's notice a few things here about this topic today, and I trust you this won't be painful at all. Amen. How many of y'all already grabbing your wallets and your pocketbooks? How many grabbing your purses already? I ain't giving a thing. Amen. Well, you know what? God may not have you give a thing. He may just have you receive today. But I didn't give anything. You don't have to give anything. God already has given to you. For God so loved the world that he gave. So perhaps today God doesn't want you to give anything. He wants to give something to you. He wants to give you his grace today. He wants to spare and not give you what you deserve, which is mercy. And he wants to give you grace and give you eternal life. Hey, but guess what? Now, is God going to judge the world in the end? Yes, he is. Are you one of those gloom and doom preachers? No, I'm a glad tidings preacher. You don't have to go through any judgment at all. Amen. Because Jesus saves. Yay. Jesus saves. Amen. But I'm here to warn you. Amen. That at the end of life without Jesus Christ, there is a punishment for sin. And it's called a place called hell. And that's not where God wants anyone to go. That's why he sent his only begotten son, so that you don't have to go there. Because God's good like that. Amen. Let's get into the outline here. I want us to know several things about grace giving. First of all, notice grace defined in verse number one. We see, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Notice the times that grace is used just in this chapter alone. Notice verse number six. The Bible says, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so we would also finish in you the same what? Grace also. Come down to verse number seven with me. It says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligences and your love to us, that ye abound in what? This grace also. What is that? The grace of giving. Notice verse number nine. For ye know the what? Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Come down to verse number 19. And the Bible says, and not that only, but who also was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this what? Grace. What is that? The grace of giving. Let me give you the definition of grace. Grace simply means undeserved favor or loving kindness or goodwill. It can also be described or defined as getting what we don't deserve or God's ability to do God's will. We checked into the hotel Friday night, Pastor White and I and G2, and the young lady's name was Grace. And I said, we're going to be preaching about you on Sunday. And I said, do you know what grace means? And she startled me. She came back great riches at Christ's expense. And I said, whoa. I said, I perceive that thou art spiritual. No. I said, obviously you must have heard that from another Christian or in church somewhere. She said, yeah, I used to go to church, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going anymore. So I got a chance to invite her to the church, North Valley Baptist Church up there. She said, I'm off on Sunday. I might go. So I might call Brother Lovelace, see if she showed up. Amen. But her name was Grace. And she spit it back out. Great riches. Think about that. Great riches at Christ's expense. What riches do we get at his expense? We get heaven. We get spared hell. We get the love of God. I mean, we get eternity. But it was at somebody's expense. It was at Christ's expense. Great riches at Christ. He went to a cruel cross. He was spat upon. He had the crown of thorns platted upon his head. He was beat. He was speared in the side. He had his beard plucked out. He was stripped of his clothing. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was spat upon for you and me. Everything that Christ took on the cross, you and I should have taken. And he said, great riches at Christ's expense. He paid the price. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all, we sing. It was at his expense that you and I get eternal life. Now, if the tables were turned, that would be you up there on the cross. That would be me up there on the cross. But God, in his great mercy wherewith he loved us, he spared us and gave up his only begotten Son. So that he could take the wrath of God, the punishment of hell. He could take all the demons of a host of hell on himself and let you go free. What is that? That's grace. Great riches at Christ's expense. Think of the riches that you and I have because of what he did. And what we're talking about today is if you've been a recipient of that grace, if you've given like that, gotten like that, then you should be able to give like that. Or preacher, I don't have a lot to give. Who said you had to give a lot? Did Jesus give it all? Yes, he did. But that was Jesus. You don't have to give it all, but you should give. Why? Because of what God gave you. The Bible still says, given it shall be given unto you. And so we see grace down here repeatedly over and over again in this passage of Scripture here, grace defined. And notice now grace demonstrated through the saints here in verses 1 through 5. We find Paul letting us know of the grace or the favor that the churches in Macedonia experienced and they were able to give by. Notice verse number 1. Again, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. He said, let me hold up Macedonia as a church and let me show you the grace of God. And by the way, this church was lifted up all around America and around the world for the grace that we received. You say, preacher, what grace was that? How many of y'all remember the $495,000 we got? How many of y'all work for that? You've been working a long time. Somebody gave us $495,000, and that was grace. And because of that grace, I got a call all the way from Ukraine. You know what that call said? I heard y'all got some money. And I heard you got some money to the tune of $495,000. What Paul is saying, let me tell you about the grace bestowed on the church of Macedonia. What happened with us? They said, let me tell you about the grace that happened to Tucson. Let me tell you about the grace that happened to that church down there, pastored by Pastor Dawson. Let me tell you what happened to them. Paul is saying, let me tell you what happened to the Christians in Macedonia. Let me tell you about them. Now, he ain't asking for nothing yet. But he said, let me tell you about them. He said, how then the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, what he's saying, grace can be shown in poverty. These were churches in Philippi and Thessalonica and possibly Berea. Grace gave them strength or ability to do God's will. They had God's favor on their lives. And so as a result, you and I had favor shown on our lives as a church through that $495,000. And so if God gave us that kind of money, don't you think God expects us to give to somebody else? Amen. Amen. I think so. If you won the lottery, would you give some of that money to somebody? You ought not be gambling in the first place. I've not met one person that won the lottery and kept all that money to themselves. Now, I'm sure there may be some. But you know what? The person that doesn't share is the most miserable person in the world. There's nothing like the joy in seeing people respond when you give them something. Amen. Seeing the joy on their lives. Now, I'm not advocating you play the lottery or bingo and stuff. I'm just using that as a carnal example. But when you give something to somebody else, it makes you feel good and it makes them feel good. Amen. I love giving things to my children. We came home last night and I had gone to QT to get some gas. And so I bought G2, one of those little icy things. And my wife had bought the other kids one too. G2's was slightly bigger than theirs. And so when they got home, they saw the grace bestowed upon G2. They said, hey, our grace is not as big as your grace. Our grace is a little bit smaller. G2 said, contentment, contentment, contentment. About, be content with such thing as you have. Amen. So what if I got the bigger cup and I got more grace than you got? Grace is good. Amen. What am I saying? Grace can be shown in poverty. It says their deep poverty there. So God's grace came and was demonstrated through their poverty. So it doesn't matter if you don't have much. If God smiles upon you, little is much when God's in it. Amen. And so you don't have to have a lot. You just have to have little. You have to have a willing heart. And so we see grace can be shown in poverty, but also grace can be shown beyond our power. Notice verse number 3, for to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. He says, you know what? They gave to their own power, but then God allowed them to give beyond their powers. In other words, they did all they could do, and God, they trusted God to do more than what they could do. They had uncertain circumstances. They had some poverty going on. They didn't know where the next meal was going to come from, maybe. A lot of things could happen. But they say, you know what? We're going to give. We're going to trust God to work through us to give. You may not know how to give. You may not know what to give, but I guarantee you, if you purpose in your heart to give, God will give it to you to give. Amen. Why? God's never going to be your debtor. So we see God's grace can be shown in poverty. It can be shown beyond our power. And then they prayed something. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty. They were begging them, basically, that we would receive the gift. Even in poverty, they said, look, take it. We're going to give to our power. We're going to go beyond our power. Take this gift. It says, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They said, take it and go minister to the saints. But you're already in poverty. One of the things that really just touches my heart, sir, is when people give to me and I know they can't afford it. I feel so reluctant to even take it. But not taking it robs them of a blessing. They want to give it, knowing that God's going to give them more. But I feel so bad. I'm like, I should be giving to you and you're giving to me. That's how these Christians were. They were poverty stricken, but they gave anyway, and they begged them to take it. He said, Paul, take it down there. Would you make up a difference? Verse 4 said, do this ministering to the saints. Then verse 5, notice this, grace can be shown if we present ourselves, and this they did, not as we hoped. First gave their own selves to the Lord. They say, you know what, Paul, we can only give because we gave ourselves to God first. Let me tell you something. You give yourself to God, you can give a whole lot. They presented themselves. They said, what I have does not belong to me. It belongs to God. I'm going to put myself in God's care and in God's trust, give myself to God, and so I can give to my power, and I can give beyond my power. That's why I'm begging you to take it. I'm praying for you to take it. Take it down and minister to those folk right there, because I've already given myself to God. And God is sufficient to meet my needs. He says, they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Paul said they gave themselves, they presented themselves to God first, and then they gave accordingly to us. You'd be surprised at what you could give when you first give yourself to God. Amen. Amen. Notice he says about this demonstration of this grace. He says, in so much that we desire Titus. He said, these masters, they begged us so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. He said, you know what? We want Timothy to come down there, or Titus to come down there and finish up this collection of money that you want to give down to the saints. We want him to come down here and finish this thing up. Notice verse 37. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us, see that ye abound, notice that, in this grace also. He said, you know, I've told you about the Macedonian Christians and how they gave. He said, now, I know that you want to give, and I know that you're excited. These guys, they begged Titus to come down here, and so we're going to send Titus all the way down there and want him to make this up, because I know you guys are going to give. He says, as you abound in faith and utterance, he says, let me give you some encouragement. You guys got a lot going on. By the way, Shining Light's got a lot going on. We've got some smart folks here. We've got some intelligent folks here. We've got some working folks here. We've got some folks who just love God here. We've got some praising folks here. We've got some incredible people at Shining Life. We abound in a whole lot of things. And Paul is giving this church at Corinth some encouragement. He says, you know what? Your faith has been notable. Your utterance has been notable, how you're speaking the word of God. Your knowledge is notable. And he said, your diligence is notable. Your love is notable. He says, now see that you abound in this grace also. He said, now make your giving just as notable. Amen. You know, one way to get someone fired up is to encourage what they do good. Amen. Talk about what they do good. He said, let me tell you what you do good. He said, now let me tell you what you need to pick up on. He tells them about this giving, this grace giving. And as Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, I believe his heart's probably burdened and heavy. He's already written 1 Corinthians. He blew them out of the water on so many issues that they had going wrong. And so he's probably like torn. Should I really come back here? But you promised to give this. And so I got to say it. And so Paul here is encouraging Corinth by what Macedonia did. And he says, I want you to continue in this grace as well. So Paul used positive encouragement to get them to give. By the way, if you look at verse 8, I like this. He says, I speak not by commandment. In other words, he's saying, this is not voluntary. This is not by command. God is not going to command you to do this. God is not going to make you do this. You don't have to give to the Jerusalem saints. You don't have to give anything to them. I've told you what Macedonia Christians did. Told you how Titus is fired up about this. Told you how you excelled in so many things. But I cannot command you to do this. Shining Light, I cannot command you to give to missions. Amen. I can't command you. Now, I can command you to tithe, but it's not my command. It's God's command. And so I'm just being obedient to God to tell you that you should tithe. Because he said, will a man rob God? He said, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. He said, you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So I can tell you that God says you're commanded to tithe. But when it comes to giving the missions, when it comes to this offering of grace, when it comes to meeting the needs of the saints in Jerusalem, Paul said, I'm not speaking by commandment. I cannot force you to do this. When it comes down to this, you know what? When you stop and help someone in need on the road, they didn't force you to help them. When you give to someone on the street, on the corners, they haven't forced you to give them anything. It's not a commandment. It's voluntary. Notice what he says in verse 8 again. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. He says, I'm using the example of what other people have already done. He says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. In other words, he says, I want to test your love. Beauty of faith promise or grace giving is that you don't have to give. However, comma, you do show how much you love by how you give. Notice verse 24. He says, wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Paul says, you know what? I can't command you to give, but how you give shows how much you love. Why? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. How would it look if I said, I love this precious dear lady here and never gave her a dime? How would it look if I said, I love you, honey, but I'm not going to give you any of my time. I'm not going to give you any of my treasure. I'm not going to give you any of my talents, but I love you. Honey, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Can you spend some time? No. Can you give me some? No. Can you? No, 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 and no. How would it look if I said I loved her and gave her nothing? Paul said, you know what? I can't command you to do this, but let me tell you what it does, though. It shows how much you love. Ooh, why? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. God said, not only am I going to show you how much, tell you how much I love you, I'm going to show you and prove you how much I love you. By the way, every last one of us in this room right now, God has shown you how much he loved you by giving Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for your sin. Now, what you have done with that love is up to you. If you've responded to that love, it's up to you. But God has nonetheless given you that love. He said, look, I love you. And let me show you how much I love you. Look to that cross. And let the world take all its frustrations out on that cross and on that man called Jesus, who is the Son of God. Let that world beat him down, because you know what? That should have been you. But I love you so much that I'm not going to let that happen to you. And he demonstrated that on the cross, and they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me take that back. You can't kill God. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his life for yours. Why? But God commended his love toward us. He proved it towards us. And then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know why? To prevent you and I from going to a place called hell. Now, I wouldn't want anybody to go there. And God didn't want anyone to go there. And that's why the cross is there. That's why the grace of God is there. And so he says, you know what? I can't force you to give, but it shows you how much you love. So when you're talking about grace giving here, we're talking about I'm just showing what was already done for me. Can you genuinely say you love your spouse or your children and never give them anything? Giving is not a requirement of law, but it is a requirement of love. Amen. Amy Carmichael said this, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. See, many of y'all heard that. Think about that. You can give without loving. How many of y'all give money to the grocery attendant? Yeah, you can. Y'all give money to the gas attendant. You give to TEP. You don't love TEP. Matter of fact, some of y'all despise them because they give you high bills. You know, you don't love the city of Tucson water bill. You don't love your insurance bill. Nobody loves the Geico. You don't love Flo, but you'll pay her. Why? Get your insurance. Amen. You pay Allstate, good hands. You pay them. But you can give without loving, but friends, you cannot love without giving. You cannot do it. It's an impossibility. If I say I love, love comes with a requirement. It says, because I love you, I'm going to give to you. If I don't give to you, I really don't love you like I said I did. You with me? Amen. Start talking about giving, folks. Amens go way down. You can talk about sin and socking sin and kicking the devil. You talk, amen, amen. You talk about giving. Amen. Now our love's in question. Your love's in question to God Almighty. Your love's in question to your husband, to your wife, to your children. Your love's in question now to your parents. Your love's in question now. And I don't know if I want to amen that. It's true nonetheless. What's also true is that Jesus died for you and showed his grace. Giving is not a requirement of law, but it's a requirement of love. Notice not just God's grace demonstrated through the saints, but God's grace demonstrated through our Savior. Verse number 9, after saying to prove the sincerity of your love, he says, talk about sincerity, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He begins to let them know he was a sinless sacrifice. He died for our sins. He became sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus was prosperous though he was rich. He became poor. He says, for your sakes, he became poor. He took on poverty ye through his poverty might be rich. He purchased our pardon. If you don't know anything about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, you are missing everything. You're missing everything. Because it's that grace that we're saved by. By grace are you saved through faith. It is that faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work that he did on the cross. His death, his burial, and his resurrection for you and for me. If you are missing that grace, the Bible says you'd be men most miserable without believing the gospel. And God wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be a cheerful giver. But you can't be a cheerful giver if you don't experience this grace. And it's this grace that we have to experience before we can give by grace. And so if you've not taken God up on his love and accepted him as your Savior, then you really don't know what this grace is about, and you really need to just give yourself to him. And you need to give him your sin in exchange. And you need to let him wash you white as snow. We're saying, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ's blood, the sinless one, the crucified one, the buried one, the dead one, the risen one that can give me what I need. Without that, you have nothing, friend. And God loves us. Loves us that much. And so we see Jesus was prosperous. He became poor. He took on poverty. He purchased our pardon that we could be rich. And Paul brings the Corinthian church back to Jesus and the sacrifice he made in giving. Not only do we see grace defined and the grace demonstrated through the saints and grace demonstrated through the Savior, but grace giving done and delivered. Notice he says in verse number 10, Paul says here it's expedient to give by grace. He says, and here and I give my advice. For this is expedient, it was profitable for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Paul said, now wait a minute, you told them and us a year ago that you were going to give. And so as a result, it's going to be expedient for you to give. A year ago, you promised to do this. And so this grace giving, he said, you know, it's expedient for you, it's profitable for you. By the way, God still loves a cheerful giver, and God's going to reward when you give. Paul, again, cannot command them, but he gives his advice or his opinion to this young church. And he lets them know it's expedient or it's advantageous to them to finish this grace that they begun a year ago. And we don't give to be repaid, but God does repay when we do give from a grateful heart. Not as expected, he said it's expedient, it's expected. Notice verse 11. He says, now, I didn't command you to do this, but I full well expect it. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. He says, you know what? It's expedient, but it's also expected of you to give by grace. And so I want you to perform the doing of it. Paul gives us advice. He says, you know what? I want you to start performing it. Verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. He said, there was already a readiness to will. You wanted to do it. That was half the battle. Many of us want to give to missions. We want to see the gospel go around the world. We want to see more missionaries out there. We want to see us obedient to the Great Commission. We want to see that. That's a readiness to will. I want to. How many of y'all remember the board with the will? The will had to open up the door. Well, oftentimes my heart says, yeah, let's do it. But the will says, let's make it happen. Paul said, there's a readiness to will. Will is right at the door. He's ready to open up. But heart, you've got to okay it. Heart, you've got to approve it. Conscience, you got to know it's right. Memory, you got to know what God did for you last year. Mind, you got to know that this is the operation that we should take. Conscience, you should know this is right to do. Now let's do it. Let's do it. Paul said, I can't command you, but based upon what you've already received, knowing what the Macedonians have already done, notice that Titus is standing by, knowing what Jesus Christ has already sacrificed for you, you can't have anything else but to perform it and to provide it. He said it's expected. Provide it. Perform it. I read to you a devotion I read earlier this week. And it's called, What Do You Have? It goes like this. Exodus 4:2. And the Lord said unto him, that's Moses, what is this? What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. When God spoke to Moses through a burning bush in the desert, Moses' first response was fear. He worried about his failures and weaknesses, but God promised to be with him and to show himself strong through Moses' life. God began by asking Moses a simple question: what is that in thine hand? Many people wonder how God can use them or what they have to offer him. God doesn't ask us to do the amazing or the impossible. He simply asks us to give him the time, the talents, and the resources we already have. God is asking you today, what do you have in your hand? What do you have that you can offer God? One little boy had two fish and five loaves of bread, yet God worked through him because he was willing to give what he had. It is not the amount of what we have, but our willingness to give to him that matters to God. We also see that God performed an amazing miracle in Exodus 4:3-4. And it says, and he said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. God performed a great miracle because Moses was willing to give God what he had and obeyed his commands. Think about it. That rod that Moses had as a young shepherd, man out there on the field, God took that same rod and used that to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. All because he said, what's that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he led them by the rod of God. It went on to say, what do you have today that you can give God? A talent, some time, a resource? God doesn't ask that you have the most talent or the largest amount of time or the greatest amount of resources. All he asks is that you give him what you have. God give God what you have. Do not spend time wondering how he could use you, but rather give him what is in your hand today. And so I conclude this morning's message with this question. What do you have to give? We can't give what we don't have if we're not willing to give out of what we do have. This is a fact of the matter. Today, maybe God has already laid a figure on your heart that he wants you to give. Now, I don't know. But I can tell you this. If you've been a recipient of the grace of God, you know what it means to have grace experienced on your life. Now, God is asking you, what are you going to do for worldwide missions? What are you going to do to be obedient to Matthew 28 when he says, go ye into all the world, teach all nations? Maybe you'll say, I'll go. I don't have any money to give, but I got a life. I'm going to present myself to the Lord. I'll go. I'll be a missionary. I'll go where God wants me to go. Maybe I'll surrender. See, I don't have much, but I'll go. I'll go. And you know, when time came down to it, you know what I had to say? God, I'll go and start that church. I'll go start that Shining Light Baptist Church. But God, I've given you everything that I got. And he said, how about give me your life to go start that church? I said, Lord, me? Why me? You know the obvious question that comes right back? Why not you? Lord, you want me to give? Why not you? Lord, you want me to go? Why not you? You want a gain, don't you?
Yes, sir.
What do you have to give? Most of us will give in one of three ways. We tell you this every year. We will give out of our abundance. That means you have an excess of money to give, and you're going to give out of that. Others will give by sacrifice. I mean, you don't have an abundance of money, but you're going to cut corners somewhere to give something. Others will give by exceptional faith, which means you have you're barely making it, but you're going to trust God to give you something that you really can't see yourself giving. Let me remind you of something. You always factor in the debt-to-income ratio, and you always factor in, are you tithing and are you giving to mission? Are you tithing, giving an offering? And then with that tithing and offering, which is mandatory, this is not mandatory. Lord, what do I have that I can give? Do I have a rod in my hand? What do I have that I can give? But let me say this as well. If you've not experienced the grace of God, don't give anything. Receive today. Receive. Don't give a thing. God already wants to give to you. Don't give a thing. Say, God, I've not experienced your grace in my life. And Lord, I haven't experienced that saving grace. Now, don't get me wrong. All of us have experienced grace. You had waking grace this morning. You had driving grace this morning. You had eating grace because you didn't choke to death while you ate. Amen. Even if you didn't bless your food. Amen. You had walking grace today. You had talking grace today. You had all sorts of graces already, but you don't have saving grace if you never come to the point and place where you face the cross of Calvary and you saw that cross with Jesus Christ hanging on it. And you saw that was you in that spot that should have been there. It should have been you for your sin. And then you saw that burial. And then you saw that resurrection. You saw the risen Savior. You said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Cleanse me of my sin. I want to be saved. Friend, it's not about being baptized. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's not about joining a church. It's about getting saved by being born again. It's about saying, oh, Lord, be merciful to me. I don't deserve heaven. Show me your grace. Give me your mercy, God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. You turn from sin. You turn to Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's not about any of the other stuff. You want to be saved from the wrath to come. And there is wrath coming. I know it's not popular. But guess what? He said, some save with compassion, others save by fear. If you don't bow to the compassion of God and his love, then you better be afraid of the judgment of God. Because both are just as real. There is a place called hell. And the Bible says that he is not slack concerning his promise, but he is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. That's never God's heart and desire. From the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, he provided for them. Why? He wanted them saved. He spared them from eating of that fruit and living forever in alienation from God. And used that blood of that young animal way back in the garden to cover them and covered them with skins. Looking forward to the Lamb of God, which was going to take away the sin of the world. You and I now are looking back to that same cross, that same lamb, that same crucified one. And so, friend, if you've not received that grace, receive that grace first. But if you've received that grace, then you should be saying, God, what do you have me to give? What do I have to give? And then ask God, Lord, what do I have? Pray about it with your wife. What do we have? And then give. Whether it's as a couple, as an individual, as children, you pray. Say, what do I give? Folks, I want us to be ready when missions conference comes around. I want us to be wondering why we're doing this and why do we have this and why do we need this and what's this grace all about? I want us to already know what it's about. If you've not been saved today, if you've not been rescued from the judgment of God, friend, today, why don't you walk down this aisle, meet me right down in front and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to receive that grace today. I want to be born again. And you can get saved. Christians, you pray and ask God what he would have you to give. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Just for a moment. All around this room today, many of us know about missions. Some do and some don't know the extent of it. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed and we're looking around, how many would say, I gave last year, preacher, and pray for me that I can give again this year. Maybe I can give a little bit more, but I did give last year and I want to give again this year. You'd raise your hand saying, pray for me. Raise your hands, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, don't look around, amen. You may put them down. Second question is this. How many would say, preacher, I started giving last year, but I stopped. I fell off the wagon, but I'm ready to start over again. Would you pray for me that I could be able to give this year? I started really good last year, but then I fell off. Some circumstances came in my life, helped me to be faithful this year. I started, but I stopped. Pray for me that I can get it started and going again. Amen. You raise that hand. Amen. 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 You may put them down. How many would say, preacher, I've never done it before. I've never given to missions, never got involved in this, but I'm ready to start. Would you pray that I could have clarity to know exactly what I need to do this year? You'd raise that hand. Never done it before, but I'm willing to do it. Preacher, pray for me that I can do it this year. Never done it before, never given, but I'm ready to start. Help me to get clarity. And lastly, how many would say, preacher, I've never been born again. I've joined a church. I've spoken in tongues. I've been baptized. I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I've tried to keep the golden rule. I try to do the best I can, but preacher, if the truth be known, if I die right now, I'm not confident I'd go to heaven. I got some doubts in my mind. Would you pray for me that these doubts can go away, I can get this thing settled, and be sure that heaven is my home, and escape that judgment called hell? Preacher, pray for me this morning. You raise your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a child of God. I'm not sure if I die to go to heaven. I've experienced the grace of God. Oh, yes. But I'm not sure this saving grace that I've experienced that. You raise that hand. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone at all? Man, woman, boy, or girl? You raise that hand. Amen. If Father, bless now this invitation. Lord, in a message like this, I know hearts are going in many different directions, but I'm asking you to corral these hearts and these minds by the Holy Spirit's power and to guide them into the direction that you would have them to go, to make the decision that you would have for them to make, and that you today would get the praise, the honor, and the glory in every life of every man, woman, boy, and girl here. Some said they are excited about giving. They've given already, looking forward to the opportunity. Others started but stopped for unknown reasons and circumstances. And there are still others that never has done it and are desirous to want to know more about it. Lord, speak to each and every heart individually. Lord, most of all, if there's someone that needs to get saved today, give them the courage and the strength to come forward and say, I want to be saved today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. As the invitation is being played and sang, you let God speak to your heart. As the music plays, you need to come forward. You come. You come. Maybe God spoke into your heart. Maybe to do more for missions, you come and pray.
You have long
whatever it is that God laid upon your heart.
And for faith to increase.
Oh, maybe you need to join a good church. You say, this is a good church. I need to join this church.
Fervently pray. But you can't.
Maybe you say, I need to be born again. Would you come and let me take a Bible and show you how you can be saved?
Be perfect.
Especially if you've never been shown the Word of God, how you can have eternal security. The Bible says that this is the record. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know today that you have eternal life? That's the first grace that He wants you to receive. His Son, Jesus Christ, the saving grace, the mercy of God. How about it today? Say, preacher, I walked into church not wanting to make a decision today. Maybe God wanted you to make a decision today. I didn't know I was lost. Now you know you're lost. But you can be found in Christ. Would you come? Would you come? The Bible is clear. The Bible is true. You want to be saved, God is in the saving business. Jesus came to seek and to save them that were lost. How about it, sir? How about it, ma'am? So let's take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you'd like to be saved, we'll show you the Bible very quickly.
To be free from all.
Won't take one moment at a time. Will it make an eternity of a difference? How about it, ma'am? Would you come? Would you come? Say, preacher, I don't know what to expect. Just expect to be saved. Expect to be saved from hell. Separated unto God. Expect to be spared from judgment of God. Because it was already paid at the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ. Expect to be saved. For eternity, forever and ever. How about it? Would you like it? Would you like it? Sing one more stanza.
Who can tell of the love
you come?
He will send from above?
Waiting.
And how happy
some
our hearts will be made.
I once sat right with you, wondering, can I be saved? Can I be sure? Can I know? Too afraid to go, but too afraid to stay. At the end of the day, what made the difference, preacher? I was afraid of dying and going to a place called hell. And I knew God didn't want that. God didn't want that. What did I do? I came and talked to the preacher. Asked him, how could I be saved? How about it? Would you like to know? Thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, bless the decisions that have been made at this old-fashioned altar. Lord, many have prayed to find guidance and wisdom to what their next step should be in the upcoming year. How much should they give? What should they do? Lord, increase their faith. Allow them to give by that same grace that they're saved by. Lord, then others said they were giving but had some circumstances happen in their life and they were unable to give as they had promised. And Lord, I pray for them that you would help them to start back and give according to what you would have them to give out of what they have. And then others never been involved before, but looking forward to it. Lord, I pray you speak to that heart, that man, woman, boy, or girl, and challenge them how they can get involved in this thing called grace giving. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us today. In Jesus' name. Get your attention just for a moment.